Good morning. It is good to be with you guys here this morning. I'm actually kind of excited that Matt's intro was a little bit longer because I have a sermon, like I did my job, but my sermon focuses a lot more on Joseph's role in this story here, and so I'm kind of excited that Matt talked about Mary's role in it a little bit more and her response. So that way, I didn't want to seem like I was completely downplaying the role of Mary or anything, but today we're going to kind of focus more on Joseph, as our passage focused a lot on Joseph. So I'm assuming everybody in this room at some point in time has gotten some pretty unexpected information from somebody or some source. Just information that you get that you just really don't know what to do with it. She's not here this morning, but my mother recently got some unexpected information from me. When I was a teenager, I had this time where I went to this sleepover birthday party thing at a friend's house. And this friend had a trampoline, and at one point I was jumping on the trampoline with another friend of mine. And my other friend, I don't know what happened exactly. I think she just forgot how to jump or how to be a human being. I don't really know which one it was. But somehow all 130 pounds of my friend landed directly on my left pinky toe. Yeah, it was, that ouch is a pretty accurate, like, I probably said worse words than that when it happened, but it was pretty painful. I spent the rest of the night pretty much in misery, and throughout the night, my toe just kind of kept getting like a darker and darker shade of purple. It was awesome. Well, at the time I was a teenager, and I was a very intelligent teenager at that, and I knew everything, of course, and so I decided in my infinite teenage wisdom, the best move here is not to tell mom, because I don't want to go to the hospital. So I got home the next day, I showed it to my brother, I was like, don't tell mom and dad, and he, at the time, also an equally intelligent teenager, was like, you're right, we shouldn't tell mom and dad, that's a bad move. So he's like, just keep eyes on it. He's like, keep socks on, and he's like, and we'll just move on. And so we did, and our parents never knew a thing. Well, then a few weeks ago, I was at my mom's house, and for some reason, I think that my mom had dropped something on a toe or something, and so we were on the subject of broken toes, and my brain, like, just completely forgot that she didn't know about any of that, like, just totally forgot in my infinite wisdom. And so I added to this conversation, and I was like, well, yeah, you know, like, well, remember the time that I broke my toe in high school? And she's like, what? And I then proceeded to tell her the rest of that story. And as you can imagine, she was incredibly proud. And she really wasn't expecting that information. Not only was she not expecting it, but she was just like, you know, she's like, it's been like 10 years, so I really don't know what to do with this. But she's also like, what else did you guys cover up? And I'm like, oh, there were a lot of injuries that you never knew about. But my brother and I were really, really smart people. And I wish I could say I've gotten smarter, but I probably haven't. James, don't you dare nod. He went like a year and a half, like with like this really, really horrible, like ingrown toenail that was like bleeding every day. Went like a year and a half and never got it looked at. So I don't even want to hear it from you, mister. Sometimes we're just given, and that's probably information you weren't expecting about James. And now you don't know what to do with that either, so. Please don't disown me. I love you. But sometimes, like that perfect example I just gave you, we're just given information that we really don't know what to do with it. And I think that that's kind of what happened in this passage here. I think that Joseph is given some information that at first he really just doesn't know what to do with it. And he has to figure out what his response, what his reaction to that information should be. And there might be kind of a problem with the way that Joseph responds to this unexpected information. So he's engaged to Mary, and one day he finds out that Mary, the woman who he is not yet married to, is pregnant. And Joseph does the math and figures out that he's not the one that got Mary pregnant. And he should be angry. He should be furious. I think about like just the way that I would react to finding out that James did something I didn't want him to do, or thinking that James did something I really wouldn't want him to do. And Joseph should be furious right now, and it's completely within his rights, with who he was, with the status that he would have had. It would be completely within his rights to completely abandon, humiliate, shame, and even get Mary killed if he really wanted to. But then the problem is that Joseph doesn't do any of that. Joseph has apparently forgotten the way that things work. He's forgotten that as a man, he has status. He has power over Mary, and he believes that Mary has wronged him, and so he should want to exert that power over her. He has the power to completely ruin her if he wants to, but he chooses not to use that power. Instead, he decides to divorce Mary quietly. Joseph's own pride is on the line, and so he should shame Mary because that is just the way that things work. But then Joseph forgets the way things work. And then even furthermore, there's a problem with the way that Joseph reacts, because later on what happens is there's an angel that appears to Joseph in a dream and is like, hey, it's cool. She really is pregnant with the Holy Spirit. She's not lying. She's going to give birth to a son. It's going to be the Messiah. This is going to be awesome. And Joseph kind of reacts to that messenger a little bit wrong. And what I mean by that is that Joseph forgets what Israel's expectations for a Messiah would be. Because the Messiah, the one that's going to be saving the people, should be somebody who comes in, somebody with a lot of power, somebody with this army that they're ushering in to overthrow this oppressive empire. The Messiah doesn't look like a baby that's going to be born from a teenager. And so, but even more than that though, so the messenger tells Joseph he's going to be a baby, he's going to be born, he's going to save the people. But the messenger actually says, this baby will be born and he will save the people from their sins. Now here's the deal too. A Messiah should be coming in to save us from our enemies' sins. Save us from the people who have sinned against us. But instead, Joseph finds out your Messiah is going to save your people from their own sins. Joseph shouldn't recognize the Messiah in the announcement of the birth of a son. He should recognize the Messiah as the one who ushers in this army to overthrow Israel's enemy. But Joseph doesn't really seem to be bothered by the angel's message. He accepts the message for what it is. He gets back up and he goes and he takes Mary as a wife. And so Joseph's reactions in this passage appear to be a problem. He's forgotten the way that things work. But maybe that's not the problem at all. Maybe the problem in this passage is not that Joseph forgets the way things work, but that we forget the way the kingdom of God works. The whole gospel story, the one that includes the embarrassment of Mary's pregnancy and ultimately comes to an end with the embarrassment of the Messiah's death on a cross, shows us that God's ways are not our ways. The way things work in the kingdom are not the way that things work in the powers and the domination systems that we find ourselves in. And yet we've grown accustomed to the system that gives power to some and oppresses others simply because that's just the way things work. Joseph's decision to divorce Mary quietly reveals Joseph to be this man of incredible self-restraint, somebody who's apparently freed from the passion of jealousy. The way things work should mean that Joseph uses his power and his status to humiliate Mary, to establish his own dominance, and to protect his own ego. But the way of the kingdom means that Joseph, though his pride may be hurt, must choose grace over retribution. By divorcing her quietly, Joseph, though he is not guilty of anything, is prepared to take upon himself shame and humiliation. And he's prepared to do so without complaint. His attitude toward Mary is something that we later see exemplified by Jesus in his attitude towards known sinners. It reflects the way that the kingdom of God works. The way of the kingdom means that those who have a voice have a responsibility to use it on behalf of the voiceless. And Joseph demonstrates that for us beautifully. The real problem is not with how Joseph reacts to Mary's news, but with how we think he should react. And there's also a problem with our expectations of a Messiah. Matt was talking earlier about how Advent is a season in which we remember the coming of the promised Messiah to Israel, and we anticipate the second coming of Christ in final victory that is yet to fully happen. And we confess this each week when we participate in Eucharist, when we come up and we confess Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. But like Israel, we often find that we're holding on to this messianic hope for power and for violence. The way things work in the domination system tells us that the true king is the one who applies the most force, the one with the most power and the most status, the one with the highest number of followers, the one with the most success. But the way of the kingdom is the way that brings forth salvation not through an army, but through a cross. It's not through a message that says the reign of the empire is finally over and our reign has at last begun. It's through a message that declares a virgin will give birth to a son. And we find good news in knowing that the way we think things should work does not stop God from working according to the ways of the kingdom. What should startle us is not that Mary is a virgin, and it's not that Joseph decides to choose a quiet divorce. What should completely stun us is that in spite of the domination system that shapes us, and despite our living comfortably according to the ways of that system, God does not abandon us. This passage brings Joseph the unexpected information of Mary's pregnancy, and it brings us the unexpected information of knowing that in spite of every way God's people mess it up and get it wrong, God has still not given up on them, that God has still not given up on us. The God who promises redemption is still in the business of redeeming. It is good news that the way we think things should work does not stop God from working according to the ways of the kingdom. Because God continues to show up even when, and especially when, we deserve it the least. Last week we talked a little bit about the Magnificat, and so like Mary and her song, and like Joseph and his gracious reaction, we too are called to live in the way of the kingdom and not to live into the way things work in the domination system. God's grace does not cancel our responsibility, it enables it. Grace requires a response from us. Mary responded with her song and Joseph responded with his obedience, and we too must respond to the grace of the God who has not given up on us. We must respond to the grace of the God who invites us not to live according to the ways that things work, but to live according to the way of the kingdom. And we respond to this grace each week in prayer, at the table, and in our daily lives. We can respond by considering the places in our lives where we act only because that's just the way that things work here, and by seeking to make intentional changes in our actions. We can respond by recognizing where we have allowed the tyranny of jealousy to rule over us and determine our actions, and by repenting of such jealousy. We can respond by taking upon ourselves the shame that we wish to place upon those who have wronged us. Let's pray. Most gracious and loving God, forgive us when we forget the way of your kingdom. Forgive our complacency with corrupt systems, our excuses for violence, our willingness to allow oppression, cruelty, and domination to continue simply because that is just the way things work. Break the chains of pride and jealousy that bind us. Deliver us from our lust for power. Create in us hearts that choose grace over violence and that choose to bear shame we do not deserve so as not to shame others. God, we are thankful for your unexpected good news. We are thankful that in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of where we get it wrong, and in spite of where we have given up on you because you don't meet our messianic expectations, that you never give up on us. Teach us, God, to delight in your will and walk in your ways. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.